you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, welcome to the show, Louis J. Gomez. Cranking a little tear out there. You're so sad. You're so happy to be back here doing the show with us that it's bringing a tear to your eye.
It is. I'm very, I'm emotional. To be honest with you, I listened to the last show. I'm just emotional that I can't listen to Harrington speak the whole time. I'm a big Mike Harrington fan.
A lot of people are. He brought his fucking A game for that because
he does. Right, yeah, I was going to say, every time I'm out of town, you know Harrington fucking talks himself up in the mirror. He gives himself a little Rocky speech. He shadow boxes before he comes on.
I remember I've been to meetings where I've been going out of my comfort zone. You know what I mean? And I've egged myself on. I'm like, okay, fucking go in there. Fucking, you're going to own this. You're going to do it. You know, confidence. You are the man. That's Harrington. He's got his shirt off. He's doing his best American Psycho in the mirror. You know, humping fresh air, flexing the bicep. What are you wearing, Harrington?
Same thing I wear every Monday, Michael, a penny.
It's literally the same thing he wears every day. He doesn't have a change of clothes.
Hold on, can we talk about this? A penny? What do you mean a penny?
Yeah, like just a tiny little tank top. I was supposed to be training boxing today, and I like training boxing in this.
Oh, God, stop it. Shut up. Right, get off the screen. Get off the screen. We didn't ask you to come on, okay? No, but Jamaica Man right about now. How was it, Lewis? How was your little trip?
It was great. I had a blast. Obviously, had a great time. You know, posted some stuff to Instagram. Very nice to be able to take the family out and to be, you know, we talked about this last year as well. I feel very accomplished to be able to do that. And it makes me feel happy. People are thanking me at the end of the trip. And I'm like, guys, don't thank me. Don't, because it's selfish. It's a selfish thing because I legitimately, it brings me joy to be able to do that for my great aunt and my niece and my son. And
you're like
family.
Nino Brown. Nino Brown on New Jack City when he's out there, he's giving out turkeys on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? You're out there, you're just helping people. You're a giver. That's what you do. He's like, don't thank me. Don't thank me. I'll put it all over Instagram. I'm going to talk about it on my multiple podcasts. Okay. But I don't need your thanks. I just need the praise and the worship of the listening public.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this much. I'm bad. I ate so much. Like, I feel I gained 21 pounds. I weighed myself 21 pounds. I know it's all salt and it's all water weight, but I just ate bad the whole time. My stomach isn't. I started drinking while I was there. I haven't drank since December 7th. I got drunk. Since December 7th, I swear to God, I haven't.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, first of all, you're on holiday. That's what you're supposed to do. So don't feel bad. And you did 3 days of no sugar before you went. You know, you claimed 2 weeks, whatever. But you did a few days. But you know, but listen, at the end of the day, that's what you're supposed to do on holiday, right? It gets to a point. Rebecca's like this. Rebecca now is at the point of, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. She refuses now to work out. She says, that's it. She even said last night, we drove past, she's a member of 24 Hour Fitness. She said, oh, I've got to cancel my membership there. And I'm like, well, you don't need to cancel. She says, no, I am never going to go to a gym for the rest of my life ever again. You see, I don't need to. I'm done with it. I'm over with it. And the point that I'm making is that at some point you're gonna say, you gotta enjoy yourself. You know, you gotta know when to enjoy yourself and when to be a little bit disciplined. My wife's gone off the deep end with that and letting herself go. She's terrible to look at. But yeah, you on holiday, Lewis. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Is she saying she's never working out again, or is she saying she's just not doing like a gym type workout again? Will she work out at home? Will she go for a jog?
Literally saying I'm never working out again. This morning it was a little windy, so she couldn't go to the stables to see Mikey. I said, oh, I'm going on a run. Come on the run with me. We'll go nice and steady. She said, no. I said, okay, well, when I come back, I do weights. Come in the garage and do some weights. Okay. You just need to, it's good for your, I'm not thinking about the firmness of your ass. I'm thinking about your cardiovascular system.
Yeah, you want to see your grandkids graduate college.
With a grandma that has a firm ass. Yes. Yes. No. Yeah, no, no. But going back to the holiday. Yeah. So you put 21 pounds on. Yeah. So what, mate? So what? You're going to lose it again pretty quick. Or maybe not.
I think I'll lose it again pretty quick. But I really can't wait. Because look, I have one more in shape in me. Right.
Ooh. And one more.
One more. I'm going to get in shape.
Dude, I'm 42. You're 39.
You're a fucking athlete. It's different.
Not anymore.
I connect with Rebecca. It's different. You're doing TV roles. You do things with your shirt off. You have a fitness-oriented lifestyle. A lot of the sponsors, they come onto the show based off of the fact that you're a former athlete.
Yeah.
I understand, Rebecca. There comes a time where you go like, God damn it, can I just be fat? Can I just be a fat old guy and be around, eat what I want? I mean, it's so tiresome to just try to get in shape.
No, it is. It's a constant battle, but you got to make it a part of your lifestyle, brother. But that is true. But like just the other day, I hear what you're saying. Like, when was it? I think it was last night. We went out Saturday night after the fights, which we'll get into later. Big win for Marvin Vettori, who incidentally joins us in 32 minutes. Marvin Vettori, fresh off his win at the weekend. The fights were on ABC, so they finished early. So I had 5 hours to kill until my flight home. So I went to the airport. And what do you do at an airport when you've got 5 hours to kill? And especially, what do you do at an airport when you've got 5 hours to kill and you're also joined by Jason Perillo? You have a few drinks, you know what I mean? You have a few beers. I mean, you know, it was nothing crazy. It was nothing like that. But there was a bit of beer. There was a bit of pizza. There was shitty airport food, you know what I mean? And then the next day, we went out for dinner last night, went to this barbecue spot and had a couple of beers. And I'm like, my belly's all bloated. And I'm like, oh, God, I feel so fat. And I was bloated. Yeah, I kept burping every 2 seconds. My stomach was rock hard. Like, you know, a lot of wind in there. And she's like, why do you care, Michael? Just don't care. So what do you mean don't care? I want to have pride as a man. I want to have a little bit of self pride. You know what I mean? I don't want to take my shirt off and be ashamed all the time. Not that there's anything to be ashamed of not being in shape, but still, I want to be healthy and I want to feel good about myself.
I want to be fat enough where it's funny when I take my shirt off. I want to be the guy where I take my shirt off at the pool. Everyone's like, do a cannonball. Yeah.
Bert Kreischer.
Yes, yes, like a Burt Kreischer type, that sort of fat, where it's a good old time. When I take my shirt off now, I'm self-conscious. I'm like, ah, fuck, dude. How
the in-between phase.
Terrible. Just you're like, terrible. Yeah.
If you're fat as fuck, you embrace it. Say, that's who I am. That's my identity. I'm the fat guy. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, whoa, right on. Woohoo. He's got so much confidence. Look at him. Reality is, Burt Kreischer's crying himself to sleep every night. Okay,
you're wearing a hat with the two beer cans on the sides.
Yeah, exactly. But the in-between phase where you're getting a little bit of a belly, a little bit of a hangover, you know, on the belt line, you got the love handles, you know what I mean? You're stinking, you're smelly, you've got BO, you know, you haven't showered in a few days. That's not a good phase to be in.
Will you ever give up exercising? Or do you see yourself exercising until you can't anymore? Essentially, until like physically your body won't allow you to?
I thoroughly enjoy one of the best parts of my day. And honestly, it is the best part of my day is my morning run. I love it. I've got a new run. We never went there when you were here, but I've got these new trails. They've always been there, but I've just discovered them and they're fucking beautiful. And it's so nice. And obviously I'm in California. The weather's nice. It's a nice time of year. It's spring. There's been some rain over the winter and the sun's coming out. The photosynthesis is in all its glory. And you got the butterflies butterflying about, you got new flowers. Oh, it's beautiful. And I'm running along.
To Bisping trying to describe beautiful things is hilarious.
And I'm running along and I've got my headphones on and I'm like, this is nice. This is beautiful. And I'm not doing it to necessarily be in shape or thinking about my heart or my long-term health. I actually do enjoy it. So I was always lucky when I was training because I did enjoy it. So to answer your question, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think, because I see those guys in their 60s, you know, or even the 70s, psychos that are still working out. I'd like to think I'll still be one of those guys. Wow. But, and here's what I'm hoping for, the phase. You know, like when guys get older, they get skinny. I'm looking forward to that phase. Do you know what I mean? Because right now, I'm like you. It's a constant battle. It's a constant fight. Like, I'm going to do a photo shoot tomorrow. And I could have done it last Tuesday. Do you know what I mean? But I put it off to this Tuesday. I made up some lie. I lied and said I was busy. It's like, no,
last Tuesday you were off sugar. This Tuesday you've gone to the bar 3 times, barbecue last night, pizza at the airport.
I am drinking a gallon of distilled water today, okay? That's what I mean, because I'm self-conscious. I thought, I'll give myself an extra week. I'll make up some bullshit. So tomorrow I've got a little photo shoot, and I'm hoping, you know, to look half decent. Because, yeah, but I wish I didn't give a fuck.
Follow-up question. At what point is there, because there is, and you can say there's not, and she's going to hear this. You probably won't be honest about this, but at what point do you say to Rebecca, it's over? Like, how big does she have to get where you're like, listen, we've had our run. Our kids are adults.
Well, that will never come. But I will say this.
She's 400 pounds. Like, my 500 pound, my 1,000 pound life, morbidly obese. She's like, Michael, don't you love me anymore? She can't even breathe. She can't talk to you.
She's turned into a Russian, apparently, by Michael, don't you love me anymore?
You do not love me. She breaks the horse's back. She splits him in two.
Fucking Khabib's ex-wife. it's funny because at the wedding, the final song of the night, she had this all planned out, and I think she knew what she was doing. She was setting a trap for me. So on our wedding, you know, you have the first song, which was the Moody Blues, Nights in White Satin, right? She can't hear that song without crying. It's one of her favorite songs. So that was our first dance. And then the last song of the night was Who's It By? Who's It By? Who's It By? Who's It By? Will you still love me when I'm no longer young and beautiful? You know that song?
Yes.
I butchered it.
I know the song you're talking about, but she's got to understand it's not about being young and beautiful.
Well, it's literally about being young and beautiful. That's your question. When she's old and fat and not young and beautiful, will I still be with her? And the answer to that question is yes, I will still love her when she's no longer young and beautiful. But will I still love her when she's gargantuan and yes, old as fuck? That's a different question. It's not about beauty.
It's not about her age. It's more about her weight.
Inner beauty is what I'm looking for. That's what I'm really attracted to, Louis.
Yeah, but what if her inner beauty is surrounded by clogged arteries?
If her inner beauty is surrounded by maybe an amputated leg, and you can't walk or make me tea or coffees. No, don't be silly. You know, richer and poorer, for sickness and in health, all that good stuff, baby boy. Never mind that. Never mind that. They're tricky conversations to have live on a podcast. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about why were you tweeting out you got a 50-50 chance on whether or not you're on a no-fly zone. That's what I want to hear about. And I want to hear the way you twist it, because apparently, according to you on Twitter, all you did was ask for a coffee or something.
No, I got a coffee. I got a coffee, and I was drinking the coffee in the back of the plane. And one of the flight attendants comes over to me, and she's like, sir, you have to pull your mask up. And I was like, well, I'm drinking a coffee. So she's like, we have to pull it up between each sip. And in my mind, I'm going, that's fucking psychotic. But I'm still being nice because I know I'm on a plane. I'm with my whole family. My niece and my son are right next to me. I'm not trying to start shit. I was like, all right, cool, no problem. Sure enough, she walks away. Pull my mask down and start drinking my coffee again, as anyone would. We would just do that, right?
I'll be honest, yes. I mean, I play the mask game. I'll do it. I'm respectful of it, of course. Most of my unhappiness about it is that sometimes I forget and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm going to go back to the car, unlock the car, find the mask, put the mask on, then walk back in. But it's not because I disagree, but continue.
Yeah, look, I don't really give a fuck. It's not like I'm not going to fight this battle. It's like, I don't want to wear my mask. It's like, if it makes everyone else feel comfortable, right? It's as simple as that. I'll just put on my mask. I'm on a plane. It's a small space. I'm obviously wearing my mask, but it is a stupid rule that I have to go.
Rules are there for a reason, Lewis.
It's just sort of crazy. So regardless, okay, she goes back to the front of the plane. I pull my mask and I'm just drinking my coffee again. And I drink very fast. I chug my coffee. You know me, dude. Sometimes I drink 3-4 cups of coffee during this show. I'm a fast drinker. Everyone knows this.
Lewis fast drinking Lewis Gomez in circles or whatever. Continue.
Everyone knows this about me. So she must have just been watching me from the front of the... I'm in the back of the plane. I'm in like row 26, okay? She's watching me from the front. I know, like a piece, like a real piece of trash. I had to buy 8 flights, okay?
I'm joking. Come on.
All right, Expedia, price lowest to highest. Here we go.
100% every time. If I'm flying by myself, if I'm flying and it's a company that's flying me there, I don't fly anything less than business class, and I'm horrified at this fucking suggestion. How dare you? I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm a former champion, business class all the way. If I'm paying for it, yeah, exactly. Same thing. Southwest Airlines, cheapest flight we can fucking find all day long.
Spirit, very back of the plane. It's my 8 people with their back, with the only seats that can't actually go back the 1 inch. It's just the back row. So she must have been watching me, and she like beelines towards me. She's like, you have to put your mask up, sir. And I was like, miss, I am. I was like, I'm just drinking the end of my coffee right now. She's like, you know, don't argue with me. And I was like, I'm not arguing with you. I was like, I fly all the time. I was like, I'm not trying to get one over on you. I'm not disrespecting you or the people around me. I was like, I'm just drinking my coffee. And then couldn't have been any friendlier. Literally like that. That was the same tone that I used it with. It was very matter of fact. She goes, "That's it. You're going to go on the do not fly list." And then she walks away from me. And I was like, okay. And it was just fucking bizarre. And everyone around me was like, that was fucking weird. What a weird lady. And then she went to the front of the plane and then nothing came of it. I was actually in my son's seat. So I was like, all right, he's going to end up on the no do not fly.
James is fucked. Okay. It's okay. Don't say anything. James, years from now, wonders why he can't go anywhere. You know, had I known this was the case, maybe I would have brought this up, but not brought it up. I mean, have a bit of footage we could play. But Thursday, I'm in Vegas, quarantining before the fights. And there was a thing on the news about a family that were dragged off an airplane because their 2-year-old apparently wasn't wearing their mask, right? And the point
just happened to a fighter, right?
Yeah, it did as well. But the point that I'm bringing up this one, because it was so hilarious, I was led in my bedroom and I was laughing my head off because it comes on. The story was apparently they were being loud. The kid was playing its fucking iPad super loud and wouldn't have headphones on. And they were arguing and stuff like that. And they were being a little bit confrontational. And then they got escorted off the plane initially. Now, they went on some TV show and it was all because they're suing the airline. I forget which airline it was. I think it might have been American Airlines, but they're suing the airline, right? And it was so obvious that they were laying it on thick because the woman, the wife of the family, was a total Karen. And she was sitting there. She was handling all of it, pointing at the screen and yada, yada, yada. And then the host of the TV show, the news network, says, "Oh, let me hear from your husband." And the husband goes, and then the wife chimes in, "Oh, yeah, by the way, he's been so stressed out from this, he's actually lost his voice. He can't even speak. He couldn't speak to you if he wanted to." And then it went to their lawyer, and their lawyer was like the biggest shark, piece of shit, crook lawyer you've ever seen. And you know, listen, this is a fucking airline, because they got kicked off the plane, but then they got allowed to get back on. So clearly, you know, the airline was in the wrong here. So it was just funny. I wish we had the video footage to show, because it was fucking hilarious. But this guy's sitting there pretending he can't talk because he got walked off a plane. Anyway.
Yeah. I've never been kicked off a plane, but there's been a couple incidents like that where it's like they you're in a situation where you got to get where you got to go. And you have to just take it on the fucking chin. And you can't say anything. You can't argue. I know, like, I did the mental math in my head where I was like, all right, what am I arguing right now? Isn't going to get me anywhere. I'm just going to end up legitimately getting kicked off this plane and having to meet my family in Jamaica tomorrow or whatever it is. So I wasn't trying
to. Not right about now.
But it was, you have to take it. And here you're the same type of person as me, whereas if when you have to take it on the chin, it makes it that much worse. When you can't say anything and you have to bite your fucking tongue, you're just going like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I guess I'll just take it. So, yeah, they won. American Airlines, good for them. But
yeah, well, there you go. Lesson learned, Lewis. Just follow the rules. Do as you're told. Mm. You know, that's what my wife says to me on all these stories. Because, you know, to be fair, I always come back and I always find myself in similar kind of situations. And she says, yeah, but Michael, your life would be a lot easier if you just did as you were told and you just complied, you know. So, you know, maybe something for you to think about, Lewis.
I mean, look, you wouldn't be where you're at, baby boy, if you did what you were told and you just complied and you followed the straight and narrow and you did everything that your teachers and your parents told you since you were a little kid. Hey. You would not be the world champion of the world. You would be some fucking sucker in an office somewhere.
Hey, I'm not the one with a child on the no-fly list. Okay, Callum can fly wherever the hell he likes. Okay, support for the Believe You Me podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Lewis, you just got back from Jamaica, man. I guarantee before you went, you had a little trim of the prank and beans, man.
I should have, honestly. Now, at this point, it's going wild. But to be honest with you, I'm going to take a moment on the show. You're not even going to notice. I'm going to trim my pubes. Nobody's even going to hear it because they have quiet stroke technology.
It's amazing.
30 seconds, 45 seconds, ying, in and out. The most important thing about the Lawnmower 3.0, Bisping, here's the meat and potatoes. Ready? No pun intended. The meat and potatoes, the most important part about this thing, you're not going to nick yourself. You're not going to cut yourself. It's really great technology. It's super, super safe. Everyone knows if you've used the Bic or even hair trimmers, you have to be super careful. It's a very tedious process.
Hold up.
You have to be really careful.
I want you to trim your balls right now whilst I'm talking. I'm going to see by your face whether or not you're in pain. Hold
I'm
on.
Do it.
There it is. All right. Have you pressed go?
Ready? Good. Give me a countdown clock.
Go.
I'm going.
Are you
I'm
in
going.
Pain?
No pain at all.
I'm going to hear it. That's look. Because you got the 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. It fucked me. That thing's so quiet.
Here, I'm putting one leg up in the air. I'm really getting in there now, everyone.
Get up in the ass. Up in
you
the
can't
ass,
hear Carl. Anything. I can't feel anything. I'm not even looking. I'm not even thinking about it.
Well,
this
even if you were in a dark room and you couldn't see, there's an LED light.
You know what? Fuck it. Lights out. Lights
Turn
out,
lights
baby
off,
boy.
Let's go.
Here we go. They're off.
He's trimming his balls in the dark. If you're a psycho and you want to trim your balls in the dark, Manscaped have got you covered. Look, listen, Manscaped's been around for a while. The latest version, the Lawnmower 3.0. Is the 3.0 correct? I believe it is. Yeah, the Lawnmower 3.0 is the latest version. Well, why do you want the latest version? Because they keep getting better. Simple as that. If you want to, control your manhood, you want to groom yourself, you want to be sharp and clean and fancy and just in order, have your business in order, then the Lawnmower 3.0 is the way to go. Trim the junk of yours and do it in a non-painful way. Realistically, that's what you want to do. So go to manscaped.com, use the code BISPING20. Well, what does that do? Well, you're not going to be a genius to figure out. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping. Go to manscaped.com, use that code BISPING20. And like Lewis, you can shave your balls whilst doing a podcast in the dark and you won't be able to hear it or see it or not be in pain.
I love it. Look, I'm all trimmed up. I'm nice to go. Bisping, you want to take a look? Here's a little peek. How does that look?
Let me see. Whoa!
Right?
I'm not talking about the job on the haircut. I'm talking about the size of that thing. It's tiny. Anyway, as I say, we've got Marvin Vettori joining us shortly, 20 minutes or so. So what we'll do is we'll get into some of the news, and then when Marvin joins us, we'll start at the main event and work through the fights at the weekend. Now, looking at these notes, of course, there's a lot to talk about. The main thing that everyone's talking about right now in the world of mixed martial arts is Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. They're going back and forth on Twitter. Harrington, now is a good time where you can show yourself. You're actually formally being requested. I hope your microphone is turned on and all that jazz. And maybe give us a little bit of color. Maybe we'll do a bit of BYM theater had you have, provided those notes, but you didn't. But still, give us the rundown on what's going on. I know I'm sitting there following it, but educators.
Harrington,
don't hear you.
Mute yourself even further if you can. If you can make yourself even more silent, it would be great.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, all right, here we go.
Okay. He actually unmuted himself and then muted himself.
I know.
For the people that are saying they want Harrington to replace me on the show, I hear you. I think he's better than me at almost everything, but he's not ready. He's just not ready.
And listen, let's be honest, and I will say that I'm going to have you back here, Lewis. All you people in the YouTube comments, stop being so fucking nasty. What are you doing? Harrington does a good job. Lewis is here every week. We have fun. We bust our balls. Sometimes we want to kill each other, but that's the dynamic. Harrington jumps on every blue moon. Have a bit of respect for the great Lewis J. Gomez, please.
And if you guys like Harrington so much, why did none of you listen to Hammer Fisting with Harrington when it was a show?
Anyway, enough of that stuff. Harrington, please, without further ado, give us some background on Dustin and Conor and why potentially that fight may be off, even though it's not.
Okay, so Conor McGregor came out with a prediction saying that he knows how he's going to end this fight. It's going to be a front kick to the nose in the fourth round. Dustin Poirier then piped up on Twitter the next day and said, cute prediction. I'm fumbling my words here, but something along the lines of there was $500K you promised, you predicted you were going to give to my foundation that never materialized despite my people calling you multiple times. Conor McGregor retorted that the Good Fight Foundation never got back to him with a line-by-line description of where that $500,000 was going to go. And then McGregor questioned Poirier's integrity, saying, you took me, the money fight, over fighting for a title. I don't think I was wrong to deny you a $500,000 with no plan of where it was going.
Did they delete these tweets since?
No, I'm looking at them right now. Harrington could have done such a thing. He says, that's a fun prediction. This is Dustin Poirier, notorious. You also predicted a donation to my foundation and you and your team stopped responding after the fight in January. See you soon. July 10th, paid in full. Yeah, and then Conor came out. He's like, well, no, we wanted to know line by line where it was going. And Dustin then came back and said, well, we reached out three times with that information and you never responded. And then Conor came out with, go on, Harrington, I'll let you do it.
Okay.
Never
well,
mind. Never mind. I'll do it. You're ripped. You're inbred fucking hillbilly. What do you wink with your ears? What does that mean? I asked somebody else, wink with your ears. I don't get that one. Something to do with the cauliflower ears, I'm assuming. Do you wink with your ears? Anyway, you fucking brain dead hillbilly. 500K with no planning, please. Yeah, hang tight, fool. You must be new to money. The fight is off, by the way. I'm going to fight someone else on the 10th. Good luck with your old contract, kid. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, so you don't believe the fight is off, you know?
No.
Just a little more hype, a little more fuel on the fire?
No, I don't think it's hype or fuel on the fire. I think that's fucking Conor just maybe getting a little bit pissed off and saying, well, do you know what? Fuck you then. Zoom back in. There we go, Bri. Just saying, you know what? He probably doesn't even mean it. Listen, at the end of the day, it's all great promotion for the fight. A little bit of drama, a little bit of airing your dirty laundry in public, maybe a DM. Maybe manager to manager. Dustin's manager reaches out to Audience R or something like that. Would have been a little better. But, you know, at the end of the day, all's fair in love and war. The good news is this is good because remember last time it was all pally-pally. They were giving each other back massages. It's all respect. Oh, I love proper 12. Oh, that's some fucking good hot sauce you got there, Poirier. Right? There's a lot of that going on. You know what I mean? Yeah. This time it's going to be charged if, in fact, the fight does go ahead. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, we're all here for it. Obviously, you know, I like when there's a little bit more, a little hate between the guys. Is this a simple misunderstanding? Is that sort of what happened here? Because that's what it seems like happened. Because I, to be honest with you, I don't think that Conor was talking out of his ass when he said he would donate $500,000 to his charity. And to be honest with you, I don't think $500,000 is an insane amount of money for Conor McGregor. I think he's worth more money than he'll ever know what to do with. So,
well, it's a tax write-off anyway. If you done right. through the correct channels, you know, it can be 100% deductible off your taxes. So, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't, I don't know, what was the word? Reneging on his charitable donation. But also, yeah. It does sting when someone knocks you out and you're like, fuck you and your 500 grand. You're not happy.
He was just in no hurry to probably get to that after he got knocked out, after he got embarrassed, you know. I don't think.
Well, maybe he didn't remember.
Yeah, that's also true. he knocked it out of his memory. Yeah.
When I got knocked out of Dan Henderson, I lost temporarily 3 months of my life. I'm like, yeah. What is going on? So, as I say, you never know. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Well, no, I think that. I think it's a little weird for Dustin to call Conor out on Twitter. It's what maybe Dustin's trying to put more fuel on the fire. I don't think the fire needs really fuel at all. I think everyone's really interested in watching this fight happen. But to kind of get Conor's back, and I'm not really because I think it's a weird. The whole thing is sort of weird. I just think it was a little bit like Dustin didn't really need to tweet it out. What was the point?
I'd have done that 100%.
Would you have?
Yeah, of course, because they're talking shit and then Conor's, you know, they're going back and forth, they're talking shit, and it's been what? What are we in now? April? So it has been 3 months almost, and he hasn't seen the donation. I think he's sat quiet. I'm not defending their actions, but I'm just saying, you know, he's sat on that for 3 months. He hasn't said it. He's been blank 3 times. He's like, all right, fuck you. I'm not going to allow you the credit that you may be perceived to be getting, but still, it's none of our business.
Let's say this does happen, that the fight is off. Who do you think Conor should fight? Who do you think Dustin should fight? Because now Dustin is in the dark. There's a title fight happening that Dustin should 100% be in. He has every right to that title fight. But let's just say, devil's advocate, Conor really walks away from this fight. Who do you see Conor fight? Who do you see Dustin fight?
Well, number one, that's not going to happen. That's absolute madness because the damage it would do to Conor, in my opinion, right? Because it looks like he's shitting out of a fight that he just got knocked out in the rematch. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that's going to happen. It's just a bit of bullshit. People get tempers. People say stupid things. Conor retires every other fucking week on Twitter as well. Let's remember.
That's also true.
And of course, it is Conor's right to do that. You know, anyone, the UFC can't make you. They can't put a gun to your head and force you to fight somebody. And if Conor doesn't want to fight him anymore, then as I say, contractually or even just as a human being, that is his right to do so. I don't think it would be the smart thing. And then you never know, because I did see this as well. Harrington, just go to the UFC website. I saw a tweet this morning. I know nothing about it other than seeing a random tweet. But apparently on the website, excuse me, somebody tweeted this at me and said, Bisping, what do you think of this? The Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz fight has been taken off the scheduled card. Really? According to some random tweet I saw this morning, who knows, maybe it was doctored, maybe it was photoshopped. I don't know. Maybe go to that website and see if you can see that.
Also,
but then I saw McGregor saying that fight's not on. I'm like, oh, well, McGregor versus Diaz 3. Not saying that. Not saying you should all put that in the clickbaity headline. Not saying you should do any of that. But maybe get us an extra 100,000 subscribers and tag us Believe You Me podcast. Go ahead.
I mean, look, that would be an insane fight. I think that that would satiate the general public's need to watch Conor fight somebody again, obviously. Who knows? Who knows? There's a million little things. It could simply be they were putting a new fucking image up for Nate Diaz.
Exactly. Right? I'm not saying that. It was like, you know, maybe they're just doing a little bit of work on the website, as you say, you know, some random dude tweeted it at me. Harrington, go on. What are you seeing?
So I'm looking up UFC 262 right now, and it is still listed as the co-main event.
Okay. So whoever the random was on Twitter, kiss my ass. But all right, let me ask you this. As a fan, as a casual, as someone that... takes in the world of mixed martial arts. Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 3 or Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz 3? What do you prefer? What would you rather have? And let's go over Harrington and Brian as well. Give me your answers, please, because it's taking a long time.
I'm going to say Dustin versus Conor only because it does actually have title implications. You know, I guess Nate versus Conor, they could do it at 155, but I think Nate's preparing for 170, right, with Leon. So they'd probably do that at 170. It doesn't have as much implications at 170. I think from a pure sporting aspect, I think the you got to see the rematch between Conor and Dustin. But to be honest with you, no, because honestly, I think it makes more sense for Nate and Conor to fight each other. Dustin deserves a title shot. So in a perfect world, Dustin would be fighting for the title. But with that fight happening already elsewhere, I think Dustin versus Conor makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Dustin versus Conor, in my opinion, the bigger fight, the juicier fight. Yeah, everyone's going to watch Conor and bigger? Diaz. Yeah, I say so. Just because of the sheer magnitude of the event, of what happened last time, the storyline, Conor being asleep on the phone, on the octagon floor, you know what I mean? Taking a little phone call as he was down. It's a big, big fight. And just for me personally, I prefer that one. It's a tougher fight for Conor as well. I believe Dustin's a tougher fight than Nate Diaz. Anyway, we got about 10 more minutes or 9 minutes until Marvin joins us. Harrington, you want to set up this Rose Namajunas talk? I'll let you do that.
All right, so Rose Namajunas was talking about her bout coming up with Weili Zhang. She talked about in an interview she was doing that she's getting in touch with her Lithuanian roots. Apparently, they had a big fight against communism in the like 70s, 80s, and 90s, fighting against the USSR. And the words of those people were "red, not dead." Right? That was the
better dead than red.
Better dead than red, exactly. So that became like her mantra heading into this fight, if for want of a better word. You know, she sees Weili as somebody who represents, you know, communist China, and she's looking forward to taking that fight to her.
Yeah, which I don't really understand, to be honest. You know, I mean, if you go back through history, certainly in European history, a lot of people have fallen foul to things like that, you know, oppressive regimes. You know, my family, a lot of them were persecuted by the Germans during the Second World War. And of course, it sounds like her family had some problems with the Russians. Obviously, she's from Lithuanian descent. Because you could argue that Zhang Weili is a victim of communism also. She's not. Who's it? Xi Ping? Is that the president of China? President Xi? President Ping? One of them. She's not fucking running China. That's just Zhang Weili. Do you know what I mean? She's just doing her. So if anything, as I say, I don't quite get it. I don't understand it. I don't like to see politics brought into it like that either. Rose Namajunas is a tremendous fighter and she's a great person. I mean, I don't know her that well, but the everything I've seen of her and my run-ins with her have always been positive. But still, you know, I'm not going to say a low blow, but, you know, maybe a bit of a low blow.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people need to get themselves worked up for whatever reason. If she needs to find it in her to make this fight bigger than a title fight in the UFC, and that she needs to go to sort of these deep, you know, embedded roots of you know, her family's, you know, and her culture's, like, history with, you know, communist Russia, then more power to her. If that's what she has to tap into, it's like wearing a lucky hat. If that lucky hat makes you think you're lucky and you're going to win, then put that shit on and fucking fight. So more power to her. It is a little weird. I agree with you. I am of the thought that these are all silly imaginary lines. We don't have any choice as to where we're born. We don't have any choice to who our parents are, the color of our skin, our religious or cultural background, the way we were raised. Those aren't really choices. You know, later on in life, you could say you want to, you know, change certain things. But I think that we are all just people. You know, so, you know, I obviously very deeply disagree with Rose that, you know, she should be looking at Weili Zhang as sort of a representative of her country or anything else. But then again, look,
hey,
you know, that's a part of it. This is most Americans don't have a real sense of cultural pride because we were a very young country. I think in other countries,
you're probably the most patriotic country in the world. You can't fucking go on Twitter or a school, greatest country in the world. Fucking, you guys bleed the stars and stripes, which is great. That's not an insult. I'm just, you know, I just give it a.
You see, Americans
view to the statement that you just made. Well, go on.
Well, I was going to say, you'll see Americans claim their other cultures very often, right? So if somebody's Italian American, it's like, yo, I'm Italian, you know, I'm Irish, I'm Puerto Rican.
I get it all the time when I say I'm English. They go, yes, so am I. I'm like, you don't fucking sound English, brother.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to tell you this as well. Having been to China many times,
you have a family there.
I do have a family there, and I wish you very well, but you won't be getting any more money out of me. Not until you up your production of lithium batteries. Need more, okay? No, it doesn't feel like a communist country. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't raised there, and I don't live there, but I've been there. And it just seems, the bits I was in seems very, very normal. It seems very capitalistic, you know, it seems nightclubs and expensive clothing. And you go to the Chinese airports, it is designer goods everywhere you look. I mean, I'm talking high-end shit. They're, I mean, obviously their economy is booming, but yeah, it doesn't seem overly communist, if you ask me.
I think that we have our own perception of what all of these countries are, even with Korea, right? A friend of mine was just talking about how she was reading a book about Korea and how it's like we have this perception that it's like, you know, if you step out of line, like the government will come and fucking kick in your door. And it's no, there are teenagers. There are people that are rebellious. They do have protests against the government. But I think we just have a very specific view of what other countries are because we listen to our media. Whatever's really fed to us, we go, yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah, but there's a very distinctive line when you're talking Korea. North Korea versus South Korea. North Korea, trust me, right? All right, if I'm to believe everything I see online, on film, in documentaries, news reports, North Korea's fucked. It's a bad, bad place to live. Whereas South Korea is the complete opposite. That is a very, very free society.
Well, I'm speaking on North Korea. That's
North Korea, you're fucked.
But that's the way where it's sort of sold to us, right? But I think that living life in North Korea is much different than we sort of perceive it because they're the enemy and we're, you know, constantly looking at this, you know, supposed war with them. But it is a lot of propaganda. I mean, you really can't – I don't believe what anybody fucking says to me ever, much less the media.
I don't know. I'm believing what I hear. I mean, just look at that president. What's he called? Kim Jong-un. I mean, he looks like a fucking psycho. He's short. He's fat. He's ugly. Do you know what I mean? No wonder. He's got the codes for the nuclear bombs and he's dying to use them, okay? We need to take him out. I'm saying it now. Start it. Hashtag BYM podcast. Take out Kim Jong-un. I'm going to fucking war. Fuck that little dwarf, okay? He's a little prick, right? And he's trying to blow everyone up with nuclear bombs. No, if you go to North Korea, it's not going to be good. You go to South Korea, you're in for a bloody good time. Although you might have to deal with some of that, what do they call it? K-pop? What do you know about K-pop? BTS, I believe, is a hot sensation coming out of South Korea these days.
Isn't that a chemical you find in gas station jerky?
That's MSG.
Sorry.
But yeah. BTS behind the scenes. Is it that one? Brian, what do you know about BTS? What do you know about K-pop?
Just what I just looked up online, but apparently BTS is trending with Times Square on Twitter right now for some reason.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, here's they're a K-pop group.
There's a documentary on Netflix that I watched. It was kind of interesting about K-pop. And like every K-pop band is like basically the same formula. It's like any manufactured pop band, to be honest, but there's one that has like blonde hair. There's one that's a bit feminine. There's one that this, they all just, you know, and whatever, who gives a fuck? I know nothing about Korean pop. What I do know about is mixed martial arts and the UFC. Bam, 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 bam. So let's get into that shit.
What we got?
Story. Go on.
I was going to say, we have Marvin Venturi coming in a couple minutes. Let me just do plugs real quick, and maybe Marvin will come on in that meantime. Bespin, we have to take a quick moment and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is Paleo Valley. Snacks such as beef jerky are really an essential part of a low-carb, high-fat diet, and we all love beef jerky. There's no bullshit. If you guys are even if you're not even into fitness, it's such a great, tasty treat on the go. We've all gone to the gas station. You get your local brand, whatever it is. It's full of nitrates. It's full of toxins. It's full of chemicals. chemicals, all of these things that you don't want to put in your body. Paleo Valley makes great beef jerky that is grass-fed beef without any of that bullshit.
That was really good, Lewis, but now I'm going to get super technical with the science behind this. There is, listen, when you go to the gas station, they contain gross ingredients hiding in most beef steaks or hormones. Some are linked to cancer, and multiple experts agree there is no acceptable level that humans should be exposed to. Here's another one for you, MSG. What does that stand for? Monosodium glutamate. It can cause unhealthy inflammation, weight gain, blood sugar issues, and more. Mechanically separated chicken sounds gross. It is made by crushing chickens and molding them into a paste. Sounds nice.
Sounds scraps, awesome, actually.
Bones, nerves, blood vessels. Yeah, that's all included. And here's a big one, the brominated vegetable oil, BVO, as it's known in certain circles, first patented as a flame retardant. Okay, you don't want to eat that. What you want is Paleo Valley beef sticks, 100% grass-fed beef. And here's the good part. They taste amazing. They are really, really good. They're the perfect snack. Listen, when you're on the go, you don't want a chocolate bar. You don't want a candy bar. You don't want crap. A little bit of beef stick. Just chow down on that beef. Lucy has been chowing down on beef all week. You're looking like you put a few pounds on, though, buddy boy, but not on the Paleo Valleys.
I love beef in my mouth. I've said that for a long time. Okay.
Sticks
of beef in my mouth. Everyone loves it. Okay. What you got to do right now is, if you want to check out their incredible line of products, is go to paleovalley.com, PaleoValley.com, and enter the promo code BELIEVE15 when you check out. You're going to save 15% off your entire order. Once again, that is BELIEVE15 for 15% off your entire order. Go to paleovalley.com.
Great snack on the go, convenient health snack when not on the go, great health snack for kids, and probiotics aid in digestion and gut health. Just an extra little thing to consider when going to paleovalley.com. All right, where were we?
Real quick, if you love the show, go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We love the great reviews. You can really subscribe anywhere you can find a podcast, whether it's iTunes, Google Play. We're available on Stitcher, Spotify, really literally anywhere you can download a podcast. You can also just plug in our RSS feed to any of those podcast apps as well. Go to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our YouTube channel, hit the notification button. You receive a notification every time a brand new episode is dropping, which is typically Monday and Thursday nights around midnight Eastern. And if you guys want access to the entire on-demand library, every episode of the show that we've ever done, both ad-free and uncensored, you get them all at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. By the way, one subscriber to Gas Digital at the end of the month, we're giving away a PS5 for. So,
jeez Louise, guys, get in line. No one's sleeping tonight. Marvin Vittori will be joining us in just a second. Of course, he had a big win over Kevin Holland at the weekend. If you saw the fight, you know what happened. Marvin Vittori essentially went out there and just out-wrestled him, right? And that was the smart thing to do. It's certainly, when you look at the last fight against Derek Brunson, you know, he got taken down time after time after time. And that's what Vittori did. Kevin Holland started off pretty good. He looked sharp. Well, you should do at the start of the fight anyway. That's when you should be your sharpest. And in the first round, he did look sharp. You know, he was throwing some hands. But then once Marvin got him down, he didn't really have an answer for it. And it was kind of like the Brunson fight. He couldn't really stop the takedowns. By the way, great job, Marvin, on the takedowns. You know, he had good entries. He would turn the corner well. And he was relentless in getting those takedowns. And, you know, for some people that want to see a stand-up striking affair, great, that's awesome. But why would Marvin do that when Marvin has the ability to take him down? And Holland isn't really a threat off his back. I saw some people describing him as a jiu-jitsu specialist in last week leading up to the fight, and previews talking about how Holland is a jiu-jitsu specialist. No, he's not. He offered nothing offensive pretty much off his back, with respect, in the Brunson fight, and he didn't really this time. So it was a clear path to victory, and Marvin scored a new record. 11 takedowns is the number of times he took him down there. And yeah, you know, as I say, Holland made it interesting a little bit here and there, but it was a shutout essentially for Marvin Vittori.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Vittori fought a perfect fight. So yes, Marvin maybe could have outstruck him. There he is. And there he is. There he is. Speak of the devil. Marvin Vittori joins the Believe in Me podcast. What's up, kid?
What's up, man? All good, all good. Feeling great.
I'm looking at your face there, Marvin. We got no marks, no scratches, no black eyes.
Yeah, almost nothing. Almost nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were just talking. Oh, he's gone.
He's sick of it. Like, he does not like a compliment.
Yeah.
I was playing around and I fucked up right away.
So. all good, buddy. First off, thanks for joining us, Marvin. Obviously, you just fought the weekend, so I'm sure you got better things to do. You could be relaxing or whatever. So thank you very much. We were just talking about your fight. Obviously, congratulations. Well done. Thank 11 you. Takedowns, a new record at middleweight. But talk to us. You know, your fight, how did you feel? Talk us through it, please.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to finish him right after. Like right after the fight, I wasn't... You know, I felt like the mission was accomplished, but not completely because I wanted to put him out. But almost had him in that choke. He's a skinny guy, and his shoulder, like, he's super skinny. Like, was hard to put him out. But I went back, and, man, like, I kind of understood why the fight ended up going that way. And I feel like... Like, even in the back, we were like, and even in the fight week, and even since they gave us this, since they gave us Kevin Holland, we put up a game plan, but we didn't realize that the execution of the game plan kind of like would have worked out in a fight like this, in a sense. Because we were like, listen, like, because he's the kind of guy, man, if I was his coach right away, I would tell him right away, like, if you want to stand, and fight standing most of the time, and you know people are gonna, you don't have that great of wrestling, you cannot smother yourself and overcommit on all those shots where you just jump in and all the time end up in clinches. Because if another guy is the better wrestler in the clinch, they're gonna take you down. They're not gonna, plus he's actually dangerous from the clinch. A lot of times off of the clinch, he throws a lot of shots. And it just makes sense for me to like, why the fuck would I take a risk to get off of the clinch, maybe risk like short elbows?
Yeah,
I think you've muted us. Oh no, there he is. You're back. Sorry, we just lost.
Yeah, somebody called me.
Yeah, no worries, buddy. No worries.
Yeah. So and spend double energy to get up the clinch, take a risk of getting up the clinch for those shots and not use my wrestling where I'm superior, you know.
Go on, Lewis.
Yeah, they're calling again. I'm assuming that's why he's muted. Are you back, Marvin?
They keep calling me. I keep
It's okay. You're a popular guy. You just obviously won. Everybody's swinging off your nuts. They're like, it's the number one contender at middleweight. No, you're absolutely right, Marvin. Why would you? You're right. Some people want to see a stand-up fight, okay? But why would you do that? Why would you allow the fight to happen in a way that gives him a better chance of winning? I get it. You don't have to explain anything to me, mate.
No. But you know, but I was it's not what people say. It's like, it's me. I wanted to punch him more too, but. It ended up that way because of this mainly, you know.
Were you preparing a similar game plan for Darren Till?
Well, yeah, but I think the fight would have worked out very differently because then Darren does not overcommit as much. He's way more aware of the distance control. And again, if I would have clinched with Darren Till, then I would probably take him down. But maybe he was a little bit better on defending. And maybe it would have been like, okay, you know what? Like, I don't want to spend too much energy trying to take him down since.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, listen, Kevin Holland does do that.
Let me answer to this call really quick because they keep calling.
Yeah, yeah. Take that call. They keep calling you and tell them that I said they can go fuck themselves as well.
Well, no, that is annoying. Let's continue the conversation.
We'll continue that conversation because I've been there, by the way, when people just keep calling and calling. You've got to answer and say, hey, do me a favor. Leave me alone. I'm doing an interview. He's right, though, because Kevin Holland is a guy, and this is one of the things that he needs to work on. He has no control of range, and I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm saying it as an observation, and typically you do see that from people. He needs to work on his footwork because he's got 84-inch reach. And 84-inch reach, which is a massive advantage. But if you don't use it properly, right, then you might as well not have it. And as I say, he goes forward, he gets aggressive, and he falls into the clinch. So if you're Marvin or if you're Derek Brunson or whoever and you have superior wrestling, then why wouldn't you do that? You know what I mean? There's absolutely no shame in that.
Yeah, not at all. And you people, for anybody to fault him for fighting a damn near perfect fight, that's silly. He won 50-44, I believe, on all three judges' scorecards. You know, really, really dominant performance. Now, here's the only problem with that performance, which is a somewhat safe performance. You know, it sounds there. And he's back.
Sorry, there he is. No, no, no. You're good. You're good, buddy. Go on. Continuing your thought, Marvin, what you were saying.
Yeah, I think the game plan would have been similar. Well, he's southpaw, but I think the game plan was pretty similar, but it would have ended up being a different fight because Darren Till is more aware of the distance. So I think it would have been more of less grappling, but more standing, you know? You know, if, even if you watch the stand-up exchanges with Holland, I feel like I was successful most of the time. He landed some, but most of the time, whenever he was landing, I was landing back. Then I kind of saw that, you know, the takedown were working easily, and I just kept going on that. But you know, at the end of the day, like you said, it's his fault for not defending, not mindful for taking him down.
You haven't got any excuses. Sorry. You ain't going to explain anything, Marvin. Yeah. It was a great fight. It was a great performance. It was a 50-44, I think, on all three judges.
But to finish for Darren Till, I think it would have been more of a stand-up fight for sure. And, I mean, I was training a lot standing. Like, I was expecting a stand-up fight with Darren Till. For sure.
Well, I think Darren's harder to take down. So therefore, by just feinting those takedowns, it opens the stand up. And by going for the stand up, it opens the takedowns. It's a mixed martial arts fight. That's what you do. You have to use all the different attacks to be successful. Obviously, the fight's done now. You got that one. Is that five in a row now, right?
Yeah, five in a row, yeah.
All right. Any idea or is it too early to think about what's next? Because I know you want to fight Stylebender. That's the fight you want. Mm-hmm. But this weekend, they might go against you. What do you think about that? Because obviously you got Whittaker taking on Gastelum. If Whittaker wins in style, I don't know. Well, how do you see the middleweight division playing out?
Yeah, so, Whittaker's going around saying he's not... I don't think he wants to fight Adesanya. That's the funny thing, you know. I don't think he wants it, to be honest. Of course, Whittaker is the only other one that has that could like challenge me on who's challenging Adesanya. But he's the only competition that let's say, you know, to fight Adesanya. But I don't feel like he wants to, like, so I don't know. And Adesanya wants to be active. And so from my perspective, I deserve it more than everybody because I've been active. I've been just saying yes to everybody, and I've been just like you go back and you watch my last five fights and and okay, maybe they weren't all finishes, but I barely lost one round. If I lost one round, was that third one with Hermanson that is arguably lost. I don't think it's a lost round, actually. It was a very arguable, like, it could have been my round too. And that's the only one. If you think about the Ferreira fight, it was total domination. You think about the Andrew Sanchez fight, it was total domination, both 30-27. Carl Robertson was total domination. Hermanson was no doubt who won that fight. And this one was total domination. So, okay, I didn't finish all these guys, but I arguably lost one round. There was never like a doubt on who won this fight. So, you know, like, I think I'm next and it should happen. I think it will happen, to be honest.
If let's say it doesn't happen, do you see the Darren Till fight happening in the future?
I don't know, bro. Like this guy talks so much shit lately that, you know, I definitely want to fuck him up, but he's talking from the couch. He's still, I, you know, like it's funny. It's almost like you talk about all, it seems like I'm talking to one of those fans that talk shit just on social media. He's one of those, like, I kind of picture him like this in my mind right now, like him fucking just eating chips and drinking sodas with a fucked up arm like this, like talking shit on social media. Oh, you fucking orb, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you, pussy. Like, you did not show up. You can suck my dick from your own couch and show up when you're supposed to, you little pussy. That's it. You know? So, That's how I think.
But let me ask you this, because obviously you came out last week and you said, you know, you didn't think his arm was, sorry, his collarbone was broken. And then I'm assuming you must have seen his response on social media. He was calling you fucking Lord of the Rings, orc looking motherfucker.
Which I love, bro. I love orcs, to be honest. It's a great alter ego. I don't mind.
Yeah, yeah. But what did you think when you read that? Because obviously you were going to fight, and then now the fight's off, and now he's talking all this crazy shit. What did you think? And by the way, I tried to get Darren on here today because I was hoping to get you both talking about this shit. But he blanked me. So now I'm Italian. I'm fuck Liverpool. I'm all about Italy these days.
Let's go. That's it. I saw you on stuff because I went and watched some of the pictures of Darren Till, right, where he tagged me, and I saw you commenting here and there. I'm like, oh, this guy's playing both sides right now.
Yeah, come on, man, come on. I got a podcast to run. I got to get you both on. I hate it these days. In the past, I could tell everyone to go fuck themselves. Now I've got to kiss everybody's ass because I'm trying to get you on the podcast. I'm like, hey, oh, what's up? What's up, buddy? What's up, pal? No, but anyway, so you're at home, and then Darren, you know, comes out with those posts last week. What did you think?
That's what I think. That's what I think. He's a couch stalker. That's what it is. Like, how can you, like, to be honest, it just makes sense for you to shut the fuck up if you're on your couch and you cannot even train and you're not even in the gym getting ready for fights. Like, it's okay. You're out. You're out. Shut the fuck up. Like, you, like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, you were supposed to show up. Now you have a broken collarbone. You're not even halfway to get over this collarbone, and you talk about your next thing. If you're really hurt, just shut up. Like, just shut up for the moment. Like, you're not even in the picture of the fight talk for the moment.
And what do you think about Till questioning your heritage? You said that you've been living in California your whole life. Does that bother you at all, or is that just other shit talk?
He's just too lucky that he's born in Liverpool, in the sense that, like, he had good training around there, you know. You think this is a question that a lot of Italian always brought up to me too. You think I would have left if I didn't have to? You think it wouldn't have been easier for me to be around my family and live around my own place and my friends and where I grew up? You think I didn't have to do that because I wanted to be better in what I want to become? Like, of course, if I could have, I would have stayed there, but I couldn't. And then when I was 18, I left, but I'm born and raised. I'm 100% Italian. From what I've known, my grandparents are Italian, and all my family, I've been alone since I'm like I'm been in my journey, pursuing my journey. I've been alone since I'm 19. Like, it's not, I had to do this because I really had to do it. It's not because, oh, I want to travel the world. Meanwhile, I train. Hell no.
Yeah, well, listen, at the end of the day, you could twist that and say, hold on, I'm doing everything I can to be the most successful I can be. You're making sacrifices. Because I get that a lot. I get a lot of English people sometimes talking shit, saying, ah, shut up, Bisping, you're American now. Anyway, fast forwarding, this Saturday, we got Gastelum taking on Robert Whittaker. Obviously, you'll be watching that fight closely.
I'll be there. I got the ticket.
Oh, you'll be there? Oh, you got it? What do you mean you got the ticket? You're going to be there?
No, cause like I asked for the ticket right after my fight, and I was like, oh, I want to be sitting next to Dana watching the fight,
Gastelum's a teammate of yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right, so obviously you're gonna say Gastelum wins then.
Yeah, Gastelum has been looking sharp, man. Like Gastelum, it's one of those guys. When the lights start to shine, this guy shines with the lights. Like,
yeah,
like he looks great right now. He looks very focused. His weight is good. He's gonna be a hard run for his money for Whittaker. And it's weird. Like, bro, like, even Whittaker, his stand-up is so weird. Like, his stand-up is really weird. Like, it is weird.
It's effective, though. It's very effective. But it is weird because I remember, I'll just tell you a quick story. When I fought Luke Rockhold the first time in Sydney, Australia, and Robert Whittaker was kind of new to the UFC. He'd had a few fights, but he wasn't the big star that he is now. And Jason Perillo was watching him on the pads, and Perillo says to me, he says, fucking hell, when are we going to get somebody like this one day? Meaning an easy fight. As it turns out, he's not an easy fight for anybody. He's very tough. But I hear what you're saying. When you look at him from the outside, it looks kind of awkward, but he's very effective.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't really approach you with any he's not really methodic in his striking, you know. Like, he has a crazy high kick, which you have to respect. He has weird angles with all those hooks, but I don't know, you know. Kelvin is a tank. He can take a lot of punishment if it goes down to that, you know. And we all know that he has a concrete chin too. So yeah, man, it's gonna be a good fight. And then but Kelvin is really sharp at the moment. And yeah, man, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, even Whitaker does not seem. I don't know. He's never. I mean, he doesn't talk. He tried so much, even to like. I remember that interview where like, but tried like you were. Trying to make him talk some shit. He does not talk any shit.
Yeah, that's just because he's the nicest guy, though. You know, Whitaker's a nice guy. He's a hell of a fighter. He's a great guy. You know, like me and you, we talked a bit of shit. Whitaker, it's just not his style. And I'll be honest, I kind of like that. So obviously, it's Monday morning, right? You just fought Saturday night. I'm assuming you haven't spoke to the UFC about, you know, if you get a title fight or anything.
No, but some might be on the, I don't know. I think some might be in the air, but we'll see. I don't know.
Well, when you watched Adesanya's fight against Blachowicz, is that something that you sort of said, like, wait a minute, there are definitely holes in his game now? And do you look at that fight as a game plan in order to beat Adesanya?
Yeah, because I think that a lot of the things that he's been doing that have been working, and he hasn't changed them. But they're really simple, like they keep getting repeated throughout fights. So you can see patterns on his game. And I think, those are what you want to look into whenever I'm going to fight him again. So, it's going to be, I think I'm going to do really, really good with him the next time I'll fight him. Because
all right, last question
before we let you. He hasn't changed too much. He's definitely improved, but like not as much as I did.
Bisping, can I just follow up with that question?
Yeah, please,
just
of course.
Because you fought him to a split decision last time. Looking back at that fight now, do you feel like there, even at the time, was adjustments you could have made in that moment that could have had your hand raised in that fight?
At the moment, back in the days, not much. You know what? I maybe a little bit underestimated him in the beginning, and maybe respected him a little bit too much into the fight. But because then on the third round, I just walked him down. I remember what I was thinking going out, because the corners tell me, Rafael Cordero tells me we're 1-1. We need this round. And I remember thinking, fuck it. I'm just going to walk him down. Good defense, and I'm going to make it happen. And he didn't have much for me, man. And so it's crazy. I always say this. What surprised me a lot is like that by not knowing much, and definitely not as much as he knew about the striking game back then, I still gave him so much problem. Right now, it's a whole different story. That's what I'm saying. Like, right now would be a whole different scenario completely.
And when you say that, Marvin, obviously we saw Blachowicz go out there and score the takedowns in rounds 4 and 5. I'm assuming you're talking about mixing in some takedowns as well, right?
Yeah. I'll do everything, man. I'll do everything. This fight with Adesanya will be a display of like full MMA, because I never skip no jiu-jitsu. This is highest level, and I have to mix it up.
All right, so you got a big win at the weekend. What's the rest of this week look like? Are you treating yourself? Are you taking some time out? Are you eating some food? Yeah. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm just chilling now I'll have like 2 days of nothing. And then we'll see. I don't know. I was planning to go back home maybe next week to Italy. But I'll wait a little bit more to book the ticket. And then, Saturday I'll be watching the fights in Vegas. And that's it, really.
We were talking before. Lewis said that, what did you say about Americans? You said Americans weren't too patriotic. And I said, yeah, no, they're so the... I said, they're the most patriotic people on the planet. But then I don't know. Italians, so if I was to go up to an Italian and say, you're not really Italian, you live in Huntington Beach, that's a pretty big insult for an Italian, right?
Yeah, man. I got nothing against Americans and you know, I love this place, but no, man, I'm Italian and I'm going to remain Darren Italian Till, for the rest
Darren
of my
Till
life.
Knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing there when he, you know, made that dig. All right, Marvin, listen, thanks, mate. Honestly, I really appreciate it because I know Saturday night you just fought and you're relaxing. So thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll so I can count on my side right now. Fuck Darren Till, all right?
hey, I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle. Okay, fuck it. Fuck Darren.
We flanked you, bro.
Fuck Darren Till. All right, Marvin, listen, you're the man. Take care, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Let it, buddy. Take
Marvin
it easy.
Marvin Vittori. What a good guy. I like him. I like Marvin a lot.
I know. Put him in.
I like Darren a lot.
I love Darren. He's fucking awesome. You know, we take.
I like Kevin Holland. I like all these guys. So what a weird position you have to be in. These are all guys that are middleweights as well.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. It's difficult. As he said, I noticed you in the comments. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm trying to do a podcast. I'm trying to get guests. Still, there you go. Congrats to Marvin Vittori. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from HempFusion.com. HempFusion.com, if you go to their website, you will see a lot of different CBD products and wellness products. And the one that we want to tell you about is the Sleep Support. Sleep Support blends 10 milligram of CBD, terpenes, omegas, GABA and black pepper with clove oil. And together, they unleash the entourage effect, working together to deliver powerful benefits to equal well-rounded sleep. Now listen, come on, we all know what it's like when you don't have a good night's sleep. So this stuff is fantastic. And one of the good things that I found when I'm using it as well is in the morning, you feel refreshed. You feel absolutely fantastic. Of course, the sleeping is good, but some of the stuff, it overdoes it. Some sleep aids, I get out of bed and I'm groggy. I can't think. I've got like a big cloud over my mind. Sleep Support, I wake up with all the joys of spring. And as I say, if you go to their website, HempFusion.com, you're going to find all kinds of products. One of the main things you need to know about their CBD is that it is 100% organic. A lot of companies out there, they claim it to be, but they've got all kinds of chemicals going on. They got pesticides. They got, I don't know, whatever they do in that world. There's a lot of chemical agents going in there. At HempFusion.com, it is 100% chemical free. It is all organic, as I say. And as I said, all kinds of products. They got the energy, the sleep support that I just told you about, but they have the opposite one. They have the energy, which I've been using in the morning. That's fantastic. They got the stress support as well, which I often need. That is CBD blended with ashwagandha and a bunch of other variety of products. So as I say, go to their website and check it out. You'll find something that you need. They've also got anti-aging products. They got creams. They got something for everyone. They got a brilliant cream that you can put on your neck for pain relief. I had the neck surgery, but unfortunately my pain levels are not completely gone, but the pain relief cream from Hemp Fusion really, really helps. And I'm gonna, it's a hot take. This is the best pain relief cream on the market. And that is a fact. You can tell when you put it on, you can just feel the quality. The smell is fantastic. And obviously the pain relief qualities are just the best. They are the best I've ever used. And that's, as I say, it sounds like a bold take, but it's absolutely true. So go to the website, hempfusion.com, and use the code COUNT. You're going to get 25% off. As I said, their website, CBD products, and a lot of anti-aging and wellness products as well. Hempfusion.com, and use that code COUNT for 25% off plus free shipping for your high-quality CBD oil products only from hempfusion.com. Check it out. All right. We'll go through the card real quick. Co-main event, Alfie Allen, pardon me. Arnold Allen defeated Sadiq Youssef. Great fight, good technical performance. I think that's 7 now in a row for Arnold Allen. He needs a big, big breakout fight. I think the fight before that was Gilbert Melendez. Obviously a big name, but a guy that's not at the top of the heap, shall we say. But Arnold Allen deserves a big fight next
time. Didn't he have like a crazy knockout recently?
Besides not that I can think of. No, he needs a decision. He needs a stoppage. I think all of his wins have been by decision, I think. And that's kind of what's, you know, not hurting him, but it's kind of slowing down his progress towards getting a title fight. Obviously, that's what everyone's looking for. What do we have? Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern was fucking hell.
She looked great. Now. Even her very scrappy striking looked better.
Perillo said, you know, because when the fight started, she went forward, she threw like 4 or 5 punches very, very aggressively. Then she went for the single leg and then got that foot sweep. Perillo said they worked on that 10 times in the locker room right before they went out. That was the entire plan. Go out there, throw that combination and grab the leg. And it worked absolutely perfectly. Now, of course, Jason being Jason, we're at the hotel, not the hotel bar, the airport bar. And I'm talking about it. I say, wow, she did good, didn't she? And he was like, yeah, but I'd have preferred if she stood on her feet for a bit longer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a typical boxing coach.
Perfect game plan. She executes it to a T.
It's a $50,000 bonus. Not happy.
Yeah. But I mean, look, she honestly, her striking looked better. It looked a lot more. She seemed more confident with the shots she was throwing. That's all Jason Perillo. And I follow Jason on Instagram. He's actually a really good follow on Instagram. And you see them.
He's a really good chef.
He's a really good chef.
You see his food that he cooks on Instagram? He's unreal.
No. I didn't.
Dude, let me tell you this. Like, we go to, obviously, when there's a fight on, I'm there a lot, but Jason's there, not as much as me. But we got a quarantine, right? So we get there a day before, we test, and you're locked in your room. And for me, it's DoorDash, Uber Eats, crappy food brought to you in plastic containers. It's cold by the time it gets there. Jason loves cooking. And if you look at his Instagram story, he's always cooking. Friday night, in the Residence Inn or the Holiday Inn Express Suites, which sounds lovely, but doesn't really live up to the Express Suites part of it. He's making himself a fucking lasagna. Do you know what I mean?
In the actual suite.
In the hotel room. He went out, he bought all the ingredients before quarantine kicked in, and he invited me over. He said, come over. He said, I've got a nice bottle of red wine. I'm making a homemade lasagna. I'm in a different fucking hotel. I was devastated. Oh, no.
Yeah. Jason's the man. And congrats to him. Congrats to Mackenzie. Mackenzie is, you know, she's already a star, but you could tell that they want the stars to align for Mackenzie Dern, because if she can get a title, she's fucking, yeah, she's money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She's doing absolutely fantastic. Harrington, just give us a bit of background on this Jimmy Flick, number 9 in the notes, BYM Submission of the Year award winner, Jimmy Flick, who, if we remember, did that flying triangle. I'm up on all of this stuff, baby boy. But, you know, for the listeners, we'll let you have some screen time. Go ahead. You are on mute once again. You're still on mute once again.
I'm sorry. My thing keeps coming in and out. I was going to say,
what do you mean by your thing?
It doesn't keep coming in and out. It mutes and it unmutes. Mm-hmm. You have to unmute.
Okay. Yeah, so Jimmy Flick, 30 years old. He was a former LFA flyweight champion. Won his fight on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. Got a shot in the UFC. Immediately flying triangle for the win. Grabbed everybody's attention with Submission of the Year. And then just this week, he had a bout booked for May. He said he's lost his passion for MMA. He no longer wants to be like Conor McGregor or Demetrius Johnson, just one of the best in the world. And because of that, he says he just wants to spend more time with his family, more time with his wife, more time working on other projects. And he's leaving the premier organization for mixed martial arts.
Which, by the way, this is why I wanted to bring this up and talk about it, because that takes a lot of strength of character to do. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people out there dying to be in that situation. You know, they want to get to the UFC. They want to win. They want to make bank, bro. What movie's that? I want to make bank, bro.
I don't know.
Will Ferrell, Goodfellas. Not Goodfellas. Step Brothers at the end when he's trying to, it's the Catalina wine mixer. It's, I want to make bang, bro. I want to get pussy. Anyway, no. And that's what they want to do. And he's in that situation. He just got Submission of the Year. He got a fat bonus. But he's like, no, it's not what I want for me. And I respect his decision. You know, I do respect that, because it takes a lot of courage and a lot of self-realization to walk away. You know, because, you know, the benefits of being successful in the UFC are massive. There's a massive upside. But if your heart's not in it, then I think that's the right thing to do. But walking away right before when his career is just gathering momentum, I mean, it's weird, but I get it. I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, you know, he's a four-fight win streak right now. Four-fight win streak right now, which is crazy. Usually you see guys retiring when they're coming off a loss. I do understand it, though, and it does. I've talked about this with comedy before. It's like, you know, maybe he sees something. He goes, dude, he's like, I don't think I'm going to become a world champion. I see what this takes. For, you know, even Marvin Tory was just talking about it, right? He had to leave his family at 19 years old and travel halfway around the world and change everything that he knew, because he knew there was one shot. There was one shot at doing this, and there was a path that he had to take, and he had to follow that path. Jimmy Flick is looking at that path and going, you know what? I don't see myself going down that path and achieving the highest level of success, or I don't want to risk going down that path to fail, which it's a lot. He has to give up, you know, probably maybe if he's got some kids right now, these years that his kids are, you know, however old his kids are, time away from his family, he's missing birthdays, missing holidays. And then he goes, fuck. And at the end of it, I may never even become the elite top of the food chain champion that I need to be in order to really be successful the way that I want. He might also have a college degree. He might have other avenues. He might have other things that are more enjoyable to do. I think it's easy to go like, oh, wow, dude, what a shame. But he, dude, who knows? Maybe he likes to cook like Jason Perillo and that's his passion. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, no. I've read an article in depth about it, and if I'm misquoting, I apologize. But he is a smart man by all accounts, from what I read. You know, he's got a few letters after his name, I believe. His wife is a smart lady as well, and they're, you know, successful, I guess, in their own rights. He set himself a target of earning $100,000 in 1 year. He said he did that. That was a little personal thing through fighting. And you're right. As you say, Lewis, it's a tough battle. It's a long road, and the chances of achieving your dreams and achieving your goals and getting to the top of that mountain, they're fucking hard. They're very, very hard. And I remember Dana White used to talk about it. It scared him. He wanted to be a boxer back in the day, but he would see what the path of fighters and what they go through. And I've seen it many fucking times myself. It used to scare me to death. I go to good gyms, and I've said this many times. I go to Range Training Center, and there'd be guys in there on the mats that were fucking really good. And you get talking to them, and they're sleeping in the car. And when it comes to fight night, they can't put it all together because of the nerves or whatever it is, you know, and they're making this sacrifice. They are all in, and they're getting nowhere in life. Yeah. And they could go off and do something else. You know, like the amount of time and effort I put into being a fighter, I could have gone off and become, you know, a doctor or a lawyer. Probably not, but you get the point that I'm making, okay? And the last person you want to walk in and defend your lawsuit is fucking me, okay? Yeah. So maybe that was a blessing in disguise. But the point that I'm making is that, yeah, it's hard. It's fucking hard. And even if you've got potential, and even if you've got a good team around you and you've got the opportunity to do it, that's still doesn't mean you're successful. And I think he does have children, and he was talking about the time away from that. And of course, you never get that time back. But there's two sides, right? That's the sacrifice that you have to make in order to be great. And there's nothing wrong with realizing that and saying, hold on, maybe I don't want to make that sacrifice. You know, maybe being great and being known isn't realistically what I'm looking for in this life. Not everybody wants that. Not everybody wants to be world champion or be famous or motivated purely by money. You know what I mean? Maybe some people just want, listen, we make a nice living. You know, I've got some money in the bank. We're healthy. And I get to spend time, birthdays, weddings, engagements, whatever it is, with family members, you know, as opposed to being in the rat race, being in fucking gyms, getting the shit kicked out of you every day. So while it is disappointing, because I was a fan of his, certainly that last submission was fantastic, I do, in a weird way, respect what he did there. It's hard to walk away on top.
Well, people talk about talent, right? And people talk about hard work. They're like, oh, you need talent, you need to work hard. But I don't think people talk about the balls that it takes to blindly throw yourself into something before you know that there's going to be any level of success. You know, I can speak to comedy very clearly and podcasting, obviously you to fighting and obviously podcasting and entertainment and all these other things. Cause you didn't know, even the first time you went for an acting lesson, you didn't know it was going to end with you being on a TV show. You were like, I hope this fucking, but it took balls to put that blind faith in. And especially to do something that you're not really comfortable with. I know you. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that first acting class and see how uncomfortable you were. You probably got pissed off at your acting coach. If I had to guess, in the middle of it, you're like, I don't even want to fucking do this anymore.
No. He was, how do I choose my words carefully? But he was a homosexual, right? He was a homosexual. And he said, that's the correct
term. He sucked his dick.
I would do anything for a part. No. And straight away he's going on. And realistically, that means nothing, but it adds to the story, makes it a little funnier. So that's why I said it. He said, I'm going to make you cry now, Michael. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. He said, yeah, I'm going to make you cry. And then he started talking about feelings and this and that. And sure enough, I was crying my fucking eyes out. I'm like,
where are you?
Bastard, what have you done to me? Because that's, that's what you have to do in acting. You know what I mean? Any kind of emotion, you just, whatever that scene is, then you got to think of a similar emotion in your life and try and think about that in your mind. And therefore what you're saying as the correct conviction in your words, so on and so forth. So that was the first one. But anyway, continue with your point.
Well, yeah, the point is though, you know, that it really does take a lot. And I have a ton of respect for people that work in entertainment, that people that work in sports. You know, these are, you know, not every people listen to this show. Think about how many people you know that have made it, quote unquote, in entertainment, sports, whatever it is. It's very, 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 very few. Most of you probably don't know somebody who's made it in that field. You probably know a lot of people who are rappers or actors who are doing all this. It's really, really difficult to do it. And in order to achieve success, most of the time, unless you're blessed, unless you're given a lot of opportunities, which happens as well, but 99% of the time, it takes blind faith. And you have to take that chance and you have to throw yourself on the fire and say, I'm either going to fucking fly and make this right now or I'm not. So, somebody like Jimmy Flick, you know, I give him a ton of respect because he obviously went through that whole process. And then at the end of it, had to make a really tough decision. And this is probably one of the only things that he really knows and is really passionate about, to give that up. And that takes a lot. I only can imagine giving up comedy.
It does. Because some people may say, well, hold on, he sounds like a quitter. He didn't believe in himself. Or maybe he was just realistic. Maybe he was just realistic, because the sad reality is that a lot of fighters, and I hate to bring myself up and talk about myself, but it is my fucking podcast. It's my life. So I have experience in what I'm talking about. But like I was talking about this the other day, I consider myself very, very lucky that after my fight career, I'm still doing well. I'm still in the public eye. I'm commentating for the UFC. We have a popular podcast. I'm doing a little bit of acting here and there. I'm still, you know, I'm having an active career. Mm. A lot of fighters don't. A lot of sportsmen in general don't. When the show is over in terms of their athletic career, that's it, right? And maybe they have enough money to make some investments or whatever it is. Maybe open a restaurant. I don't bloody know. Whatever it is they want to do. Or maybe some people have to go get a job. You know what I mean? And maybe because they put all their life into that athletic endeavor, they don't really have the skills to do a decent job. You know what I'm saying? And that always terrified me. And that always kept me working hard, because and we spoke about this a few times, I never wanted to go back to having to clock in at a factory. If you have to do that, no shame to that. But I didn't want to go back to that life after fighting in main events in the UFC and flying around the world and business class, going to fucking press conferences and being the man. I don't want to go back to having to fucking punch in down the factory working for minimum wage, right? Because I've tasted that. So that always kept me very, very hungry. Right until the last fucking day, I was hungry, and I'm still hungry now. And the point that I'm making is, you know, it is tough. You know what I mean? So maybe you think, well, hold on. Yeah, maybe I can have a little career for a few years. And what am I going to make? A few hundred grand? Because obviously, in any sport, the creme de la creme, they're the ones that are making the big money. And unfortunately, that's just the sad reality. You know what I mean? You make a decent living in the UFC while you're at it, but it's probably not going to give you generational wealth, unless you're Conor McGregor, unless you're Khabib Nurmagomedov or George St. Pierre. You know what I mean? The big names. I did very well as well. You know what I mean? I'm not talking shit about the pay structure of the UFC. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is that if you're just like an average guy, you'll make some good money and you'll have some amazing memories, but you're probably going to have to go and find some other kind of work once you're done. You know what I'm saying? And to some people, it's just not worth it in terms of that the sacrifices that you have to go through. You know what I mean? And as I say, there could be two trains of thought. Some people might say Jimmy Flick's a quitter. You know what I mean? Or some people might say, do you know what? It took a lot of balls to do that and a lot of self-realization.
Yeah, it really does. And to be honest with you, I'm sure it was a big decision made within his family. So to be honest with you, congratulations to Jimmy Flick for, you know, whatever his future endeavors are. I remember when I first got into comedy, you know, I'm not rich by any means. I do okay. But I remember just thinking like, dude, if I could even just make like 30, 40 grand a year, like as much as like, just like a kind of a, like not a great job. Like I would just be like living my dream, just saying jokes and talking into a microphone. And that's just what I do. That was like just so crazy to me. And it's so you sort of move that goalpost further and further. And in the type of personality type to be successful in entertainment or sports or whatever it is the type of personality type where you achieve a certain goal, then you want more, you want another goal. You keep on moving the goalpost back. But fighting is a whole other, on top of all that, we're talking about entertainment. And then you have fighting, which you're putting your health and your physical well-being on the line every single day, not even just in the fights, but while training, while you do the amount of injuries.
100%. Yeah. There's more injuries happening training for the fight than actually in the fight. The training camps are more dangerous than the actual fights themselves. Of course, you're going to get, you might get a broken nose. You might get a detached retina, you know, which I did, but that's rare. You know, you're going to get a few cuts and bruises. If you look at Marvin Vettori, he's hardly got a scratch on him, you know, but the training camps are fucking grueling and that's where the injuries happen. So yeah, anyway, all the best. Good luck with that, Jimmy Flick. Brian, do we have any questions or interaction or anything like that? Or Harrington, is there any good stories that we didn't get to before we say bon voyage? What have we got?
I literally have no new emails from fans in the in the
believers
email box.
bympod@gmail.com. what is going on? We're having to think here. We're having to give long inspirational stories about Jimmy Flick. We need easy content, we need easy questions, we need fun interactions with the believers. Shame on you all. Please click that unsubscribe button. Edit that bit out, Brian.
don't click that unsubscribe button.
Well, I have one story for you guys that I think is pretty interesting, and I think a lot of fans would like your take on this. So Aljamain Sterling says he's going under the knife after winning the belt via DQ last weekend, and that's going to put him on the shelf until probably September or October. Peter Yan is coming out saying that Aljamain Sterling should be stripped of the title if he's not going to be defending his belt all summer. Aljamain Sterling fired back and said, "Peter Yan, you already pulled out of the bout once in November, so what's really going on here? Who do you agree with in this argument, gentlemen?"
Well, it's not necessarily an agree or disagree type thing, but I certainly see what Piotr Jan is saying. I see what he's saying because he wants to get back in there. He wants to try and get his belt back ASAP. And Aljamain is now saying that he's going to be out for 6 to 9 months. I saw 9 months. When I had that situation, they brought in an interim title. Right, because I had to have knee surgery, so they did Yoel versus Robert, you know, and I went in and challenged the winner. So I understand what Piotr is saying. For Aljamain Sterling, it's a tough one. It's a tough one, you know, but I don't know. He needs to get in there and fight. I understand that now he's saying he's got an injury and he needs neck surgery because he's atrophying on his right side. That means he's losing muscle mass and the right side is getting weaker. But still, you want to go in there 100%. But maybe, I don't know.
It's a little weird timing for surgery, right after you sort of get this title with a big, in the best case scenario, with an asterisk attached to it. And I'm a fan of Aljo, so I don't want to disrespect Aljamain Sterling. Love Aljamain Sterling. Big fan. He represents East Coast MMA, New York MMA. Really, really big fan. And I think he's one of the most talented fighters in the world. But he was unquestionably losing that fight against Piotr Jan. Okay, and I feel like he should be doing everything in his power to quiet the haters, to quiet the people that are saying that he doesn't deserve to be there. It's not like, you shouldn't listen to the trolls or whatever it is, but this is your legacy. This is sort of the you're marketing yourself as being the baddest man on the fucking planet at your weight division. So I don't think he's
coming
off that
way. And you know what they're
going
to say. You know what they're going to say. All these haters out there, and of course it doesn't matter what the haters say. You think fucking all these top sportsmen listen to them? No, they don't. So just do you, Aljamain. But a lot of people are going to say the narrative here is that he's scared of Piotr. And now all of a sudden he's taking a surgery. And I'm not saying he is doing that, but one could make that argument. I'm not saying that at all. He needs fucking surgery. Fair play. Get it done. And a few months will pass, you know. But it's unfortunate.
Well, devil's advocate as well, maybe he knows I need to be the best version of myself in order to beat Piotr Jan. Piotr Jan was kicking my fucking ass in that fight. Thank God Piotr Jan decided to illegally knee me in the fucking head, and now I have a title around my waist. Maybe he's going, you know what? This is fucking me up. This is it getting in his head. Like, I'm not at my absolute optimal peak self, and I need to get myself there because this guy will beat me if I'm not the best version of myself. So maybe it's also a mature version, you know?
Yeah. No, listen, and I totally get it because you're absolutely right, Lewis. Why would you go into an environment, a fighting environment, where you're already giving your opponent an immediate advantage? I did that for a long time to my detriment. As you see on my neck, it's still healing up. I had the surgery just recently. I did that in 2013. I remember the specific training session. I went for a takedown and I landed on my head on the floor and fucked my neck up big time. And then I went through a phase where I couldn't do bench press because the right side was so down. It was, you know, it was like one arm front. My left hand was high. I couldn't throw punches for very long when I first started working with Perillo. This is how long ago this is. A few right hands, and it felt like my hand was like punching through sand. It was so slow, you know, and I just did a lot of massage. I did a lot of acupuncture. I did a lot of, you know, just massage and shit like that, and just worked through it with mental toughness, to be honest. And the whole right side of my body, and it's still like that now because it takes a long time to undo the atrophy. The weakness that I have on the right side was ridiculous. It was really bad, and I was a fucking knucklehead. I just went in there and continued fighting. What I should have done was have the surgery straight away, but I was terrified when they said they were coming through the front of my neck and replacing the disc. But it sounds like he's having the exact same surgery. And yeah, when you just put it like that, why would you go in there against Pyorian, a formidable opponent, a guy that was the champion of the world, and, okay, he was winning the fight as well? Why would you take that rematch when you're already at a disadvantage physically?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, if they decided to do an interim title because he's going to be out for 9 months, I would not have a problem with that, because that's long enough. We've talked about it before. About a year is, I think, the cutoff, but even 9 months, that's a long time. And if I'm the UFC, I kind of want to give Piotr Jan a little bit of a nod and say, all right, put Piotr in against somebody else for an interim title and, you know, guarantee him that title shot with Aljamain later on. Once again, I weirdly feel bad for Piotr Jan. I really do, because he just had a dumb fucking moment. He fucked up. His body just let that knee go because he's got a killer instinct, and he's like, it's my job to kill people. And he fucking kneed this guy in the head when he was down. I almost feel bad for him because he was already on the way to winning that fight pretty easily.
Yeah, but if you listen to Khabib, apparently Khabib said that he was asking in Russian, what do I do? And then one of his cornermen said, yeah, you're good to knee now. So he kneed him in the fucking head. So he's following the instructions of his cornermen. So I do feel for Piotr Jan. But at the end of the day, no one is responsible for him throwing the knee other than him, you know. But yeah, if he's going to be out for 9 months, yeah, do an interim title. I remember Dana called me. I was in Thailand. I was filming a movie and my knee was fucked. And he called me. I said, Dana, as soon as I get back from here, which will be about another 2 weeks, I got to have surgery on my knee. And he was a little pissed off. Obviously, he never wants to hear that from his champions. And I said, hold on, wait there. And I took a screenshot. Sorry, I took a picture of both my legs, my right leg next to my left leg. And the left knee was like twice the size of the other one. And as soon as he saw that, he was like, yeah, holy shit. All right, fair enough. And he said, well, listen, Mike, we're going to have to do an interim title. Are you cool with that? I said, yeah, I get it. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to be out for a bit. So fuck it. Do the interim title. Establish a clear-cut number one contender, and I'll take him out.
From the champion's perspective, why wouldn't you want them to do an interim title?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I guess, and I never thought like this at all, you know, from what I just said, but I guess they may think, hold on, I'm the champion. I've worked so hard to achieve that. I'm not letting someone else strut around with the belt around their waist when I'm that guy. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, because remember when Whittaker beat Yoel Romero and I went in the octagon and I saw him standing there with the belt around his waist. It made me feel all kind of fucking weird, and I got a little amped up and I threw my belt on the floor and stuff. I don't know what I was doing. Just the wrong belt
to throw on the floor.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing, but I saw him standing there glistening and looking starling at me and shit with his fucking belt around. I'm like,
just
no,
oozing machismo, just fucking just beat Yoel Romero. He's got a belt around his waist.
Dickhead, take that belt off.
Throw your belt on the floor.
I don't know why I did that to this day. I was trying to make like a big moment that they could sell. They're cool. Like, why is he throwing his belt on the floor marching out of the octagon? Anyway, talking to Whittaker, and he's fighting Saturday night. We'll break that down and more on Thursday.
Well, we also have Saturday night is fucking Ben Askren versus what's his name?
Oh, my God, we do. Ben Askren versus Jake Paul Saturday night. I won't be there. Let me ask you this, Lewis. Call yourself a fucking diehard MMA fan. What are you going to watch? Gastelum versus Whittaker or Jake Paul versus Ben Askren?
I will be watching both. Literally be watching both. Saturday night, I have shows this weekend in Florida. If you guys are in Port St. Lucie, Tampa, or in Boca Raton this weekend, I'll be with Kurt Metzger, Lewis of Skanks.com. Get your tickets. But Saturday night, my goal will be to watch both at the exact same time. I'm assuming the main events won't be happening at the same time. Do we have any information, Harrington, on the times of the fights?
I do not.
Yeah, so I'm looking here. The main card starts for the Jake Paul versus Ben Askren card at 9 p.m. UFC on. I'm just looking. I think the UFC card starts at 10 p.m. So I mean, I would imagine the because of the length of most boxing cards that the main event for Paul versus Askren would start after the UFC's card, typically.
And they're both pay-per-views.
No, no, no. Fight Night.
No, for, no. Oh, Fight Night. Okay. Yes, yeah. All right, good. Thank God. Yeah, it's an expensive weekend.
But to be honest, they're separate crowds anyway. You know, I think for Jake Paul, I don't know, what am I saying? No, you got the Ben Askren, you got that's MMA, you got a free fight.
People are fucking excited.
How much is the Ben Askren Jake Paul fight to buy? How much dollars are they going to separate with to buy that farce of a fight?
We're all buying that fight, Bisping.
I'm not. I'm going to be at the desk commentating combat. Real fucking combat. Real fights. Real fucking men. People that go to war, okay? Fuck that farce.
$50.
$50.
All right. What is Ben Askren's pay-per-view history? Has he been on pay-per-view before?
Yeah.
I guess. Not as a headliner. Not as a
Masvidal.
Headliner.
Masvidal was main event, wasn't it?
No.
That was Jones versus Santos.
Yeah. Well, we know Jay Paul's the big attraction there. I saw Ben Askren had a nice robe that he's going to be wearing. I saw that on Instagram earlier today. But anyway, we'll get into that Thursday. We'll talk about it. We'll get Jason Perillo on as well. He's going to give us a bit of insight from a boxing perspective. And we'll talk about Whittaker versus Gastelum. But until then, I guess I'll bid you farewell, Lewis.
Thank you very much, Bisping. Thanks, guys, for watching. Happy to be back in the country. We'll be back on Thursday night. So until then, have yourselves a great week. And we got a lot of fights this weekend, so have fun.